budget, my schedule, and my fitness goals.
So join now and find what fits you.
Free is the right fit for everybody.
Club Fitness. Join in September for free with no enrollment and no processing fees. See club for details.
Hey, St. Louis, are you looking for a place to have a party or maybe for someone to cater a party? Maggie O'Brien's does it all. Office parties, retirements, promotions, birthdays, anniversaries, reunions, weddings, Irish wakes. With a banquet room that holds 250 people and catering vans that come to you, there is no party too small or large. Eddie McVeigh here asking you to consider Maggie O'Brien's for all your catering needs. Maggie O'Brien's on South Lindbergh in Sunset Hills and downtown at the corner of Market and 20th Street. Union Station is next. Us.
Grab your coat and get your hat. Leave your worries on the doorstep. Just direct your feet to the sunny side of the street. Can't you hear a pitter-patter? And that happy tune is your step. Life can be so sweet on the sunny side of the street. I used to walk in the shade with those blues on parade. But I'm not afraid. This rover.
I'm a chicken. Rooster, that is.
Don't give me that. You're not a chicken.
What am I then, boy?
You're a loudmouth schnook.
Look at here, son. I'm no loudmouth snook. This is a dog, not a chicken. Chickens don't look like dogs. Who told you this was a chicken, son? Nice boy, but doesn't listen to a word you say.
Crossed over. If I never have. A
was that Dan doing an impression?
That was.
I'll be a good rich one. Real good. As Rockefeller. Gold dust at my feet. On sunny.
So how far into the show do you think we'll get before somebody calls and goes, hey, did you read the story? That's all I'm going to say.
I say 30 minutes.
What's funny is that apparently what happened and wasn't reported, that was only the second best fight in radio yesterday.
True. 2 days in a row that were big radio days in St. Louis, and one of them, both of them kind of... Unfortunately, most of the public didn't get to be part of either one of them. Really. Right.
Well, the public was kind of part of one yesterday.
Let's not get too specific. We'll let the callers fill us in. Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome. Welcome to the large morning show in the afternoon on this 18th day of September. And if you've stepped outside, and I don't have to tell you, it's another sleepy, dusty Delta day.
It was a 3rd of June.
Just like the song says. Dusty, oh, wait.
Yeah, it's the 3rd of June.
Oh, the song says 3rd of June.
Yeah.
Okay, that's right.
Get that messed up.
Yeah, just when you thought the radio business had just about flamed out and was dull and nothing going on, finally something happens. But enough about that until somebody calls and wants to fill us in, or maybe somebody who was actually at the event we haven't even talked about yet. So this is the hour where people are free to step up to the podium, the invisible imaginary podium, and be part of, actually maybe part of the Burke segment. I will give you our numbers. If you want to participate or have any questions, feel free to call, and then we'll tell you what's happened in our lives in the last 24 hours. 855-282-8255 or 314-821-0590. Does anybody have anything to say?
I do.
Tim Woodburn, right out of the chute. Must be something good. Tim Woodburn, everybody, you're welcome.
I want to ask Limey a question on the air.
Dun, dun, dun. Okay.
Well, you know what? This would be a good time because we're on the air.
Yeah, so that's a great idea. It's a good idea.
Way to be frank.
I'm the occasional cigar smoker. I've never smoked cigarettes in my life.
I've never either, and I'm occasional cigar smoker. I don't smoke as much as you do, as many cigars as you do. Because you said pretty much every morning you smoke a cigar?
5 days a week.
I would average...
Or even half a cigar, and then I'll put it out and like smoke the next half the next day. I mean, it's...
Yeah. My average in a year would be 20 cigars.
Okay.
So you smoke more. But you don't inhale.
Well, I mean, the membranes inside your mouth.
No, but you don't inhale.
Not all the way down the lungs like a cigarette smoker does, but the tobacco comes into your body through the pores inside your cheeks.
I understand that, but you don't, like, cigarette smokers inhale.
No.
Limey inhale. You don't inhale.
I inhale the smoke inside, but it stops at the uvula.
Okay, then that's not really inhaling. Inhaling is...
No, right. Yeah. Inhaling is down into the lungs. Right. Yeah.
Is it called an uvula or uvula?
Well, that's a good question. Now we have to look it up.
In Britain, it's uvular.
I've always heard uvula.
Yeah, same here.
Now we're gonna have to look it up.
I'll look it up after I ask my question.
Okay.
Every day I'm seeing a new story about states that are considering banning vaping. The Trump administration is considering banning all flavor. And you're a vapor. You're the only guy on the show that vapes, and you vape every day here in the studio.
Dan, didn't you vape for a while?
Yes.
Did you quit?
Kind of gave it up.
Yeah, I don't really vape much. I'll do it every once in a great while.
Okay,
no.
You don't do it now. Okay.
I'm just wondering, do you feel any side effects? Do you ever have any health conditions?
Nah.
I mean, because people who are coming up with these chronic illnesses and things like that, I mean, you would think that by sheer numbers, those people would come up with chronic illnesses, whether they vaped or not. I don't understand the whole association of vaping and the absolute certainty connection to deaths and chronic illnesses that are occurring. And I'm just wondering, is this what does it feel like? Is it different than a cigarette?
I have a theory on that, too.
I believe he's talking to Lance.
I know.
Excuse you, Dan.
No, I will. I'll let you
answer. Ugly. Not as ugly as yesterday before our show, but ugly.
Can't even get a word in, Adrian.
So go ahead. How do you answer that?
The one I use, and they're going to get some free advertising, is the little blue e-cig. It's this little thing.
The same as this jewel they're talking about. It's the same thing.
Yeah, the exact same thing as that. Okay. And I don't know if the deaths are related to the jewel pods and stuff like that and those smokers, because there are several different types of vaping. Like, there's the one that you see that looks like somebody's holding, like, a remote control or something. You know, like one of those giant pieces, and they let out these huge plumes of smoke.
We used to work with a guy, Dan and I did, who had one the size of a clarinet. It looked like a clarinet. Wow. I'm like, it's giant.
And I might be wrong, but I think most of the deaths are linked to people that smoke those. Because those things, basically, imagine smoking a cigar and then inhaling it. I mean, as much as you want. That's going to be worse.
But can you just answer me a question? You smoked cigarettes for a long time.
Yeah.
And now you vape. Are you inhaling it all the way down like you do a cigarette? Do you get the same nicotine rush or anxiety release of the vape versus the cigarette? They're equal?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Now, how far I actually inhale it, I can't tell you that. I mean, like,
there's no far. You either inhale or you don't. You either inhale it or you just take it in like a drinking straw with a cigar.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
it's more like sipping a drink with a drinking straw.
You
don't inhale a soda in a straw. You take it in your mouth and swallow it.
You vape basically and inhale just like you do a cigarette.
Yeah, just a regular cigarette. Okay. Like,
so
same amount.
Here's what confuses me about all this.
Sure.
You're taking in nicotine, and you took in nicotine with a cigarette, like Dan still does.
Yes.
Initially, the positive for vaping was, well, now you don't have the tar and some of the other chemicals in a cigarette. Yet now they're saying that in this liquid there are other chemicals, not just nicotine, that are going to kill people or already killing people. So the bottom line to me is they're both bad.
They are both bad, but one I can sit here in my chair and smoke. The other one I have to go outside.
See,
but smell.
Except for the fact that we don't smell it, and I guess don't get the secondhand whatever, which I never really believe that's a big deal, secondhand smoke. But forget that. Outside of the fact that we can't smell it and you can do it indoors places you can't other, forget all that.
Okay.
The health part of it, like Tim says, there's really no difference. This has bad stuff in it with the nicotine, and the cigarette has bad stuff in
Apparently,
it.
Apparently, this stuff will give you, like, popcorn lung or something it's another form of lung disease. Orville Redenbacher, believe it or not, discovered it.
Okay, but here's what's really interesting, and I get this. I get why people just keep smoking. Because, like a lot of things, sometimes genetics determine whether you die young or you die old. We all know people who have smoked cigarettes and died in their 90s still smoking. Then we know people who die in their 50s, and for the last 5 years of their life, they talk with one of those things in their throat.
Right.
I don't think any of the anti-smoking stuff has ever really worked. Because I don't think it didn't scare you,
no,
apparently.
No, didn't, no.
So you don't worry at all about this vaping or cigarettes killing you. You just don't. No, you don't.
No. I mean, I'm eventually going to stop. I've cut back on, like,
well,
you know, I don't smoke cigarettes.
I got news for you. Eventually going to stop. You'll say that when you're 50.
Yeah,
you can say it when you're 60. It doesn't bother Dan, apparently. And here's the other thing I understand. I stopped criticizing people who smoke a long time ago because it is a very powerful addiction, yeah. Nicotine. What it I is. Don't understand is why society and the government don't look at that anywhere near the way they look at or have looked at marijuana or particularly alcohol. And this, as far as this flavored stuff, then wouldn't that mean that all these flavored tequilas and flavored vodkas are going to attract younger people
honestly,
to drink too? What's the actual difference?
I can tell. Well, the difference is the marijuana industry. Maybe they do now, but for the past couple of decades, they've had zero lobbyists in their corners going up to politicians and saying, "Hey, we'll throw $1 million in your campaign account if you vote for us."
That's a good point. They will have.
Tobacco has got, or big tobacco, I guess you could call it, has had a bunch, like all these politicians that when they start off, they're like, I'm going to, like, you know, make cigarettes harder to come by, keep youngsters off of tobacco. And then some dude comes up to him and says, hey, here's $1 million, change your views. And instantaneously, they do a 180.
Well, go ahead, Dan, with your theory, because I have one follow-up to that.
Yeah, the one thing that I've noticed is when people vape and they try to stop smoking, they just completely get away from cigarettes. They vape way more than they ever smoked cigarettes.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that vapes with them all the time, and they're vaping constantly instead of waiting an hour or two hours
for a
cigarette.
Can I interrupt everything? I have to address this. Dan, would you get John Londoff on the phone? Would you get him, call his cell phone? I just got a text from...
What?
I just got a text from John Londoff. He says, hey, you busy? I got an AM/PM customer here. Because what will happen is if he gets a customer, he calls me. I call him back and I go, hey, let me meet him and talk to him. He has no idea I'm on the air. So I just wrote him back and I went, I'm on the air. And no, he just texted me back, oh, my God, I'm getting old. That's his text back.
You want me to call him?
Yeah, call him. I want to talk to this customer on the air. So ask John if I can... Can go ahead and say hello to this customer, but we're going to do it on the air. Make sure it's okay with the people. Their names are Bob and Mary.
Do you want the intro?
No. And apparently, they're probably in his office right now. So, yeah, when I look down and because this will happen on a Saturday, he'll send me a text, go, hey, busy, I got a customer here, they're AM of the people. And absolutely,
he said they just left.
Well, how was I supposed to talk to him? He just texted me. He just sent me a text.
He's on the top line. Okay,
he's on the top line. I got you.
Hey, John?
Yes?
Hold on. If they just left, but you just sent me the text asking me if I'm busy. Yeah, I'm on the air. And then you said you had a customer. Are you telling me within 60 seconds they've already left?
I'm talking to a customer here.
Okay,
Dan, and his adorable wife Mary.
But Dan told me they just left already.
Not my customers. No, our customers are still. They're right here.
Dan, why'd you tell me they left?
We're right here on the showroom floor. Sam.
Oh, I don't know. He said, I just told me they just left.
No, he didn't. Bob. Hello, Bob.
Frank?
Hey, Bob, is that you?
Yeah, that's me.
Bob, we're on the air. Is that okay with you?
Well, sure.
What did you buy there, Bob?
Got a Chevy Trax.
Chevy Trax, that's a great vehicle. Congratulations, and thank you for the business. Mary's your wife, right?
Yeah.
Now,
better half. You already told me better half.
All right, now who? Okay, better Mary half. Mary and Bob. Who? All right, who? Yeah. Tell John to be quiet. If we, who gets the new vehicle? Which one of you? Bob or Mary?
Me.
Mary, you get it?
Yeah.
Okay, Bob, then what will you be driving?
I've got a truck.
How old?
How old? 2008.
Okay, Mary, would you let me have a little chat with Bob for a second? Do you mind? Just if you step away. Bob, what's the matter with you? There are two vehicles in your family. A brand new one.
Oh no! Oh no!
he's got a trike motorcycle.
Oh, she didn't
too.
Step away. She
oh,
didn't
oh, listen to her. Oh, he has oh. a motor. Oh, this is where they throw the motorcycle thing
yeah, right.
in your face.
See, Mary allowed Bob to buy the motorcycle. He won it. That's the difference.
Oh, man. A married man cannot win. You can't win because if you bring up the fact that she's got the new car and he doesn't, and she goes, well, he's got a motorcycle. See, that's what they do. I can tell right now your marriage is destined to last forever. Because that's how you keep a marriage together. You argue. What?
So, Mary, it's a motorcycle that she wanted, the trike.
Mm. Mary wanted it?
Well, the point is, Mary gets the car she wants, and he gets the motorcycle she allows him to have. You young people, listen, you young people, young men who are listening, please pay attention to what you're hearing right here. This is how marriage works. Mm-hmm. You get the vehicle, the older of the two vehicles, and you can only get the motorcycle she approves of. This is how it works if you're thinking about getting married. Congratulations on the tracks and thank you for two things. One, being AM and the PM, and two, your business with Johnny Londoff. We appreciate it.
All right, thank you.
All right, thank you, John. And next time, remember, make a note, we're on from 3 to 6.
I lose conception of time when I'm having so much fun talking to great people like this.
Okay, that was a great answer. Thank you, John.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye. I got to tell you something. I've actually been at home thinking it was, like noon.
Yeah.
And it's 1.
3 o'clock.
You know, no, it's 1 or closer to 2. And I go, uh-oh. So.
I seem to remember the, was it the second day here?
The second day on the air here, October 3rd, yeah. I was late.
Yes.
I'm late the very second day. Oh, speaking of that, 1 week from today is our 2-year anniversary.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Thank you so much. I didn't expect that. Thank you.
And nobody's more surprised than we are that we're still here. Because that first 6 months was beyond shaky. It was flat out weird. So where were we before I got that text? Tim was asking about vaping.
The one point I'll make is that I was blown away. I went to high school from 83 to 87. Okay. And high schools had just discontinued smoking lounges, I believe either the year before or 2 years before I entered high school.
For teachers.
For students.
Students have smoking lounge?
Wow. Melville High School, I know, had
we
a smoking
did.
Lounge in the
his,
70s and
the
turn
of
the 80s.
Wow.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And it was indoor even. You even smoked in an enclosed. It wasn't even outdoor. They had a smoking lounge. I would have gone. Had I gone to public school, I would have gone to Melville High School. I know they had one in the late 70s or early 80s.
We only had it outdoor. We had an outdoor one at Hazelwood Central.
I went to St. Mary's and we didn't have one in the 4 years I was there. But in high school, I would estimate that maybe 1 out of 10 kids in my school smoke cigarettes.
Well, I believe that.
Maybe 2, maybe 1.5. You know, I know everybody.
I would think closer to 2 out of 10.
Okay. Well, the government just released statistics that said that kids between the 6th and 12th grade, not 9th and 12th, which is high school, between the 6th and 12th grade, they said 60% of those kids polled had tried vaping at least one time.
Oh, I believe that.
Absolutely.
That blows me away. I mean, it's all because it's cool, it's targeted, they're flavored. You know, there was a retail shop owner in St. Louis that was quoted in the Post-Dispatch who sells vaping products, and he says if the government deregulates or if the government bans flavored vaping, he'll go out of business because that's all of his business, is young kids coming in and buying these things and then eventually getting them to the younger kids who aren't 18 to buy them. So, I mean, it's another amazing display of creative marketing by the tobacco industry to enrich themselves with absolutely zero recourse
and total disregard for health.
Exactly. Yeah. And that blows me away. I've never been a smoker, but it blows me away that we even allowed ourselves to get this far.
Okay, but the liquor industry is just as bad.
But liquor doesn't cause cancer.
It doesn't cause cancer, but it causes people to get killed on the highway by drunk drivers. And it's almost like you can't have a sporting event. You can't have a sporting event without beer. It's almost like the two go together. Why? Why do you have to have a lot of beer associated with sports? And why do you have to have any alcohol advertising glorifies it, glamorizes it, and makes it, the word you used was cool. It's cool, Dos Equis or whatever it is. Cool. It's tequila, that kind of. All of that is designed to not only appeal to people over 25. Are you kidding me? Of course it's designed to appeal to anybody who wants to be cool. And who wants to be cool more than young people?
Right.
They're still trying to figure out who they are. And being cool is everything. Of course it's marketed.
You know, this is the first, to this year is the first year that Mizzou, where I went to school, is allowing alcohol sales at football and basketball games.
I read that. And I don't know how to, I do know how I feel about it. I go, why? That's my question.
I guess other college.
Why can you not have a sporting event without alcohol?
Other college stadiums allow beer, correct?
Well, it's a conference. Actually, Mizzou had allowed alcohol sales prior to this year, but you had to rent a private suite. And since you were like renting that suite for yourself, you could have alcohol catered to your event for the upper crust people who had some bucks.
And that's okay. I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
Do you guys want to break into the Burke segment, take these calls? These people
have been waiting for a while. Yeah.
Charlie here has been waiting like 11 minutes. Charlie, welcome to 590 The Fan. How are you?
Fantastic. Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Good afternoon, Charlie. What can we do for you?
So to comment on this whole vaping thing,
I'm not
an advocate for vaping. I'm 25, and when I quit smoking 3 years ago, I was smoking 2 packs a day.
Whoa.
That's a lot.
Wow.
You feel that.
Let's do a quick calculation here. Hold on. 2 packs a day, there are, 20 cigarettes in a pack?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So 20 cigarettes in a pack, if he's smoking 2 packs a day.
That's 40 a day.
He's 365. Smoking 365 cigarettes a day. 365 cigarettes a day. Wow. That's a lot.
That's incredible.
That is a lot.
That's 4 a minute.
Uh-huh. But you don't smoke.
That's crazy.
You don't smoke at all now?
No, I smoke my vape now.
Okay.
When I started out on vape, I was at 24 milligrams of nicotine. That's the strongest you can get, and that's the equivalent of 2 packs a day.
Okay.
Now, 3 years later, I'm on 3 milligrams.
So you're gradually working your way down.
Oh, yeah. I'm not advocating that vaping is a solution, but I'm advocating that it is a very easier solution to weaning yourself off of the nicotine.
See, I never looked at vaping as a way to quit smoking. I looked at it as a way to smoke places where they won't let you smoke cigarettes. No, I'm serious. And Lamy basically said that.
Yeah, that's pretty much why I've been smoking.
That's why you do it.
I am trying to wean myself off. Like, one of these little pods I got. Now, at first, when I first got it, because, I mean, with a cigarette, you know when the cigarette's going to end. You know, you've got a certain amount of time while you're smoking,
then
you put it out. Exactly. Yeah. This thing here, unless the battery dies out, I can hit it every minute if I want to do, every 30 seconds. So that's what I was doing at first, because I had, I had nothing to stop me.
Yeah.
Like, the cigarette didn't end. So now I'm trying to regulate myself.
Okay. All right.
Some people do use it for, I can smoke anywhere I want, or some people like me and like Limey, or wean yourself off of it. And it works good, but the whole prohibition ban they're trying to go with right now, is directed towards the THC, that people are putting marijuana in these things.
Hold it. If they ban flavored nicotine and tobacco, which has nothing to do with marijuana, that's what they're talking about banning.
They're banning flavored tobacco, but if you read the articles online, there's a couple different big ones out there. The people that have died from vaping and that are sick are not admitting to buying THC off the black market.
Ah.
They're buying this THC stuff off the black market, and then it's got a vitamin E, which is aspartame, I think that's how you pronounce it, and there's too much of it in there, and that's what's causing their lungs to collapse.
Wow.
So it's not a vaping problem, although they have seen, like what Limey said, popcorn lung has come with vaping, but nobody has died from it. The people that are dying are from the people that are buying black market THC.
Well, then here's the solution to that. Like anything else, stay away from the black market crap. Like any other product,
right.
You don't buy anything that's not regulated.
Right. Well, see, and that's the issue. Even if you can say, go out there on the news media and say, hold a press conference, do not buy anything from the black market. Okay, is that going to stop everybody from buying? No, it's not. So their solution is just a Band-Aid sticker and say, we're banning everything.
Yeah. Okay.
It's got a lot of people flared up.
And here's the problem.
Hi, Charlie. Thank you.
Here's the problem with that theory. Some states are considering putting a maximum level of THC content in marijuana, of states that have allowed marijuana, a maximum THC content, like mid-20s is high.
Right.
And some of, apparently the old stuff, like in the 70s when my old man used to smoke it was like under 10% THC. And now, technology and chemistry and evolution have combined to create these incredibly strong and intense levels of THC,
right.
And states are considering putting a maximum. Like when you, if you grow it in Missouri, you're going to have it tested, and you're going to have a lab report before you deliver it to the dispensaries. Where the black market will thrive is they'll grow it. They'll keep growing the strains that are higher in THC than what the states
allow.
What's
to keep me let's say they cap it at whatever.
20.
What's to keep me from just smoking twice as much? I'll just smoke twice as much.
You know, it's not the same. You can only. I don't know. I'm not a marijuana smoker. Yeah. It makes me paranoid.
Right.
No, I'm not.
It does
me
too.
It makes me paranoid. It makes me very paranoid. I won't say I haven't tried it. I have, but it makes me paranoid.
Yeah, I didn't try it till I was. In my 50s.
Mm-hmm.
Never touched it. Never. Mm-hmm. And,
Frankie, you're a pothead?
No, I didn't say I was a pothead. I said I didn't try it until I was in my 50s. The last time I tried it was probably 6 months ago. And on one occasion, it was a gift. Somebody who had been, actually, he lived in California, and I had done him quite a few favors and helped him a lot. So he brings by a little thank you package. And no,
I was going to say a little kilo.
No, we open it up. I open it up. It's a paper bag. I open it up, and there's a cookie, and there's some gummies, and there's like a couple of machine-rolled, professional-rolled cigarettes. Not like you'd lick and real ones.
Yeah, right.
And so I didn't, not knowing anything, I've told the story before, not knowing anything about it, I took a bite of the cookie. Now the cookie, I know a little more now, the cookie was a 100 milligram cookie.
Wow.
Hold on. Yeah. No. They tell anybody who
starts.
Is not, yeah, nothing more than 10.
Right.
Nothing. So I ate half the cookie. Now, here's where it's not funny.
All right.
When Tim talked about paranoia,
yeah.
I could have sworn somebody was standing right next to me,
yeah.
And there's nobody there. Or that someone walked by me, and there's nobody there. I remember peeing, and I had no idea whose bathroom I was in my own bathroom. I had no idea. No, I didn't know where I was. It was like when I hear about LSD, it was like LSD. But here's the deal. This medical-grade stuff, which they use now, one, it is stronger, but two, when it's edible, when it's a cookie or it does not hit you the way smoking does. It can take 2 hours.
Creeper weed.
Yeah,
yes.
It's creeper weed.
So here's what people do. They'll take a piece of cookie and they'll go, 20 minutes go by, nothing. So they take another one. And when this stuff does hit, and then it all
kicks
hits,
in.
You are screwed up and you're a mess. And I came real close to going to the hospital.
Wow.
But I told my wife, I said, I'm going to wait this out because, one, I'm afraid if I go to the hospital, I'll be arrested because I didn't have a medical marijuana card.
Right.
And I thought, I have to ride this out. But it was not fun. When you watch a movie or you watch TV and you're passed around a joint, they make it look like everybody that does it,
it hits you differently.
Yeah.
It's all psychological.
I'm gonna teach you a trick.
Yeah,
you smoke pot around. Teach anybody a trick. Listening to this show or even in the studio, you smoke pot and you act like you're all paranoid when you're around a girl, and you get all paranoid, you get anxiety, they get concerned about your well-being. You say, the only thing that'll make this go away is sex.
Mm.
Sex is the only thing that'll make me not be paranoid. You know, I'm really struggling here. Can you help me? Mm. Can you help me out?
And my wife's answer would be no, be paranoid. I'm afraid you'll just have to be paranoid.
Could you, Tim? What? And I feel the same way that you do. Mm-hmm. I would get paranoid anytime I ever smoked it before.
It accentuates the negative in my life.
Yes.
Instead of whatever I have going on positive in my life, whatever things that I'm self-conscious about are negative in my head, it accentuates those times 10
and
when
see,
I smoke it. Maybe I need to find an upper strain or something.
Am I not right that in most every movie you see, when they pass around the joint, everybody loves everybody.
They're
and,
happy.
Oh, man, right. They're happy. Yeah. And they're carefree, no stress. No, that not with everybody and not the level of intensity and the strength of this stuff that there is today.
It makes a road trip. If you're driving to California, you're driving to Florida, and you've got yourself, you know, it's some good road tripping was the only thing that would not make me paranoid, or being with a girl, which is rare. But road tripping would, you know, it takes that 12-hour drive, and it's like, holy cow, we're already here? I've already listened to the whole Bob Seger and the Silver Bullet Band Greatest Hits and Journey's Greatest Hits and AC/DC's Greatest Hits, and all you get into that music, and all of a sudden, boom, ooh, I'm in Florida. Ooh, I'm in California.
Oh, I'm in jail. I I remember getting pulled over.
It does make time. If you can get the right, it does make time pass for when you got a lot of time to pass. That's why prisoners are so interested in getting smuggled in, because it helps them literally pass the time.
Can we talk to Ben?
Yeah, sure.
Ben's been holding like 20 minutes. I wouldn't have done that. Ben, thank you for being so patient. Welcome to 590. How are you?
I'm good. AM and the PM.
Thank you, Ben. Hallelujah. What's up?
Okay, well, Charlie kind of mowed my lawn on the vape comment, but I can illustrate with a parable that everybody is just out of their minds. So imagine there's two people playing frisbee in a crowded park.
Okay.
One guy throws the frisbee to the other guy. He doesn't catch it, but it hits him in the nose, and the guy goes, ouch! All of the people around these two people playing frisbee start running around, tearing their hair out, saying, oh my God, ban frisbees now!
No, I know exactly what his. Oh, I know exactly. No, I know exactly what your point is here. Four people die of anything,
right?
And the whole country goes berserk.
Not only that, but all of a sudden, the government gets a free rein to tell us we can't do something because four people died.
And by the way, this is no different. This is no different than gun control or anything else. A tiny percentage, and I mean tiny, of lunatics get their hands on a gun, and there are now people who go, nobody should have a gun. It's the same thing. Mm-hmm. You're right. It is.
Well, the THC-containing black market stuff he was talking about, this is how stupid these people are. If you ban something, people are still going to get it.
Yeah.
Prohibition doesn't work in any form. So what you're doing is you're sending everybody to the black market.
Well, the number of deaths will actually go up.
Yep.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. No. Anyway, it's frustrating anyway. As hell, but
that makes sense. That makes sense. Thank you. Thank you.
That's all I got.
Thank you, Ben. See, on one hand, something happens to a very relatively few people. I don't want anybody to get shot and killed, but let's say there's a shooting. All of a sudden, we've got to make sure nobody has an AR-15 or whatever. Yet, and I don't know how many times I've mentioned this, and the number is still the same. The average is 30 people every day, 7 days a week. That is 210 people every week who are killed by drunk drivers, yet I don't hear anybody saying we have got to put stricter regulations on who gets alcohol, and certain people shouldn't be allowed to drink it if they're going to be dangerous behind the wheel. Nothing, because there's too much money in it.
Yep.
And like Limey said, too many lobbyists.
Yep.
Nobody may ever makes a mistake except Mothers Against Drunk Driving. Good luck with that. It's just drunks on the road and killing people 30 a day, and never in the news. It's never in the news. Three people get shot, it's in the news for a week. Mm-hmm. 30 people every day, drunk drivers? Mm-hmm. Eh. And then there are drunk drivers that kill people and never do a day in jail. And everybody knows who I'm probably referring to that used to play football here. Let's talk to Jim. Jim, welcome to 590 The Fan. How are you?
Good afternoon, boys. AM in the PM.
Thank you. What's up?
Hey guys, I'm the former police officer. I called in a couple weeks ago when you guys were talking about the death notifications, and you guys hit on a topic, and now you're kind of going back to it with the alcohol thing at the sporting events.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm calling in to talk about the hypocrisy of the people that you're talking about with the gun laws. You got to ban this, you got to ban that.
Right.
And I'm telling you, the two kind of go hand in hand with what my point's going to be. I have listened to so many parents. I've got two daughters that play softball and soccer, and you go to any one of these tournaments, and I don't care what direction you look in, these tournaments sometimes start at 7 in the morning. Parents of these teams have tables set up with Bloody Mary bars and mimosa bars.
Yeah.
These parents, and these tournaments go for 8 to 10 hours a day. Both parents drinking, getting absolutely loaded, arguing, starting fights, are the very parents who are talking about banning guns, yet both of them are loaded and are going to take little Johnny or little Susie and drive them home when they are absolutely annihilated, and it pisses me off.
Well, as a former cop, thank you, being a former police officer, for finally addressing that. Because, and here's the other offshoot and problem with what you just described. Those kids grow up watching mom and dad making Bloody Marys, filling a cooler with beer, whatever. Why are they surprised when their kid gets picked up at 16 drinking in the car with some other kids? They watch you drink their whole lives. And every event that comes along, woohoo, and it's an excuse to get loaded. Let's make margaritas. Mm-hmm. Of course they're going to drink because they watch you do it.
I could not agree more. And I'm not a hypocrite. I don't do it. I have never, one time in my entire life, even before I got into police work, never drove when I was intoxicated. And the devastation that I have seen over the years with innocent lives, because it's usually, if you go and you do any kind of research, the drunks are usually the ones that walk away with a scratch, right, you know, without a scratch. And I will never understand the need for these sporting events. And the argument that I've been given, well, this is the only time we get to socialize because we're so involved in our kids' lives.
No,
and I just think that is the biggest load of crap.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Jim, for the call. I appreciate
Great point.
It.
Thanks, guys.
I will retell quickly a story I told a long time ago. I used to ride a lot with cops, two cops in particular. And one night in West, and there's a world of difference in riding with a city cop in the middle of the night and riding with somebody in the county. The county police, half the stuff they deal with is just domestic crap, or they have to go called out where some kid is mouthing off and then mouths off to the cop because his daddy's a lawyer or right. some wealthy person in West County. We go out one night and there'd been it was a head-on collision out near Lafayette High School in that vicinity. And what had happened was it was really cold. It was January, and it was bitter cold. And a guy had it was a curve, and he was really drunk, so he crossed over the line, wasn't able to make the curve, and he hit this woman, young woman, I would say early 30s, head on, and he pushed the motor and the dash so far in on her, it just crushed her legs. She was pinned in, and her legs were crushed. So when we get there, they're able to barely get her door open, and she's crying. And we look down, and obviously, oh, my goodness, they got to get the jaws of life and see if they can save her legs. And then in the other car is this piece of crap scumbag, this drunk guy, who is sitting in the passenger seat. He was just sober enough to have the presence of mind to think that if he moved over, they would think somebody else was driving. So wow. I'm with the cop who walks over to him and says, who's the driver of this car? And you can smell alcohol, and the car is just crushed. It hit the other one head on. And the guy looks at the cop I'm with and says, he ran away. He left. And the cop that I'm with says, really? So you weren't driving? No. He says, no, look, you can see, I'm a passenger. And he goes, well, what's the name of the driver? I don't know who he was. Well, first of all, obviously none of this makes any sense.
Right.
And I saw something really, really interesting. It was a pretty severe, it was a head-on impact. So the cop I'm with reached down and pulls the guy's seat belt away from him and rips his shirt open. And the guy has a obvious mark across his shoulder that you would have in the driver's side.
Right.
And he goes, well, this is funny. That belt you're wearing didn't make a mark on you, yet you have this mark on your other side, you piece of, and he called him a piece of SH. And he says, and he walks away from the car. And as he walks away, the drunk guy goes, hey, to the policeman. He goes, hey, man, he says, I'm freezing. Can you just like bring me a blanket or something? And this guy that I'm with walked over and looked at him and said, let me tell you something. Our first priority is the woman that you may have cost her legs.
Wow.
She may never walk again. That's our first priority. You can freeze to death as far as I'm concerned. He said,
good
so honey. You shut up and be glad you're even alive. And that I'll never forget that. And I thought, and then he goes on to tell me that he's seen this a bunch of times where somebody gets in another seat and tries to make the cops think they weren't driving. Well, they're not stupid.
What happened to the woman?
She was, believe it or not, she was a dispatcher. Turns out she actually worked for another police department. She was off duty. She was a police dispatcher. And they didn't know that till later, and they saved her legs. And she had rehab, and she was on a walker, but they saved her legs. Wow. I found out later that they saved her legs. But this piece of garbage, his only concern was that he was cold.
Right.
Wow. And he got in the other seat, which I thought was... But I thought it was brilliant that this guy just reached down and pulled and ripped open his shirt and saw that mark. I thought, wow,
his blood.
Sometimes they get mad at the other driver. The drunk driver gets mad at the other driver.
Well,
Leonard Little.
Leonard Little.
Yes.
And we got to be careful here. I wasn't there.
I know.
But according to people who were, he was really drunk.
Yeah.
And he with the foulest of language, trash-talked that other woman that he killed. He called her every name in the book. Now, that is according to more than one source who were there at the time. And he didn't do any time in jail. So, alcohol. I don't get it. I'm sorry the vaping people have died, but I tend to agree with the guy who called who said 4 or 5 people die from something and the whole world's turned upside down. 30 people die every day from something else. Not a big deal. Just in the same way that it's not a big deal that all these inner city kids get killed, shot, sitting on the porch or sitting in the car, 3 years old, 9 years old, 10 years old. That ought to be a big deal. They ought to be making more of an effort to shut that stuff down and lock those people up. Those people who, by the way, do not have their guns legally anyway. So no gun laws are going to change that. I think we've solved about every problem in the world. Was there any more Burke segment from anybody? No? Dan Lyman?
Well, tomorrow, I have something. Tomorrow. Well,
Dan Strauss, everybody.
Thank you so much,
You're
Frank.
Welcome.
Tomorrow, of course, is 9/19/19.
Ooh.
And then... And it's will happen twice during tomorrow. It will be 9/19/19 at 9/19/19 on the clock. Oh yeah.
Well, of course, twice today it'll be 9/18/19. But I get it.
Oh,
19/19 is more.
I think what was cooler was last week when it was 9/11/19 because that's the same forward as it is backwards. So 9/11/19 at 9/11/19.
He's got you there.
Would have been a little bit more.
Yeah.
Go to the Ameristar and put 5 on 19.
As Tim likes to say, he just mowed your lawn.
Yeah.
And I never heard that expression until I heard him use it. Now
I know.
Caller just used it.
I know he did. He mowed your lawn. So, and once again, 1 week from today is our 2-year anniversary here, and I sincerely mean this, folks. If you come by here, and you leave gifts, and you spend more than $1,000, it's awkward. It's just awkward. Keep it under $1,000. And
I see somebody already brought you in a bag of Doritos.
Yeah,
early anniversary.
Yeah, like gift. I need that. So, Limey, do you have anything for the birthday?
Yeah, why not? I'll brag a little bit.
Okay.
Thank you.
You got somebody else pregnant, did you?
No, not yet. Not yet. But I'm trying.
You didn't.
Oh, my goodness.
See, you can't say that. Somebody will be upset. Yeah.
All right. But no, I got a letter from the university today, and apparently I'm an honor roll student for the summer semester.
Ooh. What?
What are you going to be when you grow up? I forgot.
Cybersecurity.
That's right.
What does that mean? What does it take? What does it take to get on the honor roll?
I have no
idea. Did you have your dad pay off somebody like Huffman, Felicity Huffman?
Give him 14 grand.
Yeah.
And maybe 14 bucks.
No, what is the minimum?
I don't know.
It's a grade point average.
It's usually 3.0 on a 4 scale. If your school has a 4.0 scale,
yeah.
Because some schools have a 5, which I still don't understand that. But usually you have to have a 3.0 on a 4 scale to make the honor roll.
I know I've got two A's out of my last two classes.
Because that's a B average or better.
Right.
Because a 4 in high school, 4 was an A, 3 was a B, 2 was a C, 1 was a D, and you got a 0 for F, and that's that you divide the classes by those numbers, and that was your grade point
average. When you went to high school, what were the grades? A, B, C, what were the grades?
There was pluses and minuses for all except F.
Right. But was there an E?
No.
We had an E.
B, C, and D had pluses and minuses, and F was just an F.
Okay, we had A, B, C, D, E, and F. I never understood the E, because it's failing. Why is it just A, B, C, D, and fail?
Right. Our E was passing.
Oh, no, ours wasn't.
Oh, ours
the
was.
The D was the very last passing grade you could get, and yeah. that was a 65 average was the D. 64, you fail the class.
I think over in England, D was still classed as a fail. Like, if you wanted to get anything, you had to get a C minus was the low you could get before you stopped passing.
Now, F stands for fail, so that's why...
To me, E'd be like, excellent. But it wasn't, he was failing.
But ours was E, and then B, C, D.
We actually had a U.
E, B, C, D, F.
Yes.
There was no A?
No, there wasn't an A.
What a screwed up school.
I know.
What school doesn't have A's? No wonder you're messed up.
Well, at the
up.
Time, it was Hazelwood Central, yeah.
And when I was at Mizzou, the problem is they graded you on what's called the curve. And so it depended on how many people scored high scores or low scores on tests. So because the only certain percent, like if I was in a 300-person political science class,
right.
the instructor would say, okay, only this many people are going to make A's. And it could be a 91 average,
or
it could be a 95 average, depending on how everybody did, because he insisted on only so many people getting A's, then this many people are getting B's, and this many are C's, and this many are going to fail.
That doesn't make sense to me.
Well, it was
I never did get the curve.
It was frustrating. It was very frustrating to deal with.
Okay, when you guys were in school, in grade school, was it the shameful thing that it was when I was in school if some kid got held back? It was like being retarded.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
No, I mean, seriously.
Oh, no, we didn't do that. Yeah.
Oh, that's James.
That's one thing.
This is his second time around for fifth grade.
Yeah,
he got held back.
We never had that. You didn't have to worry about graduating high school. You were getting pushed into the next year regardless.
Doesn't make sense either.
You would go to the special classes, if not like...
By the way, if somebody's calling me saying, don't say retarded, I'm saying retarded. I kind of like it.
You were never really tested to see if you could get into the next year, if you could graduate. You were just tested to see how much you learned, stuff that you needed maybe help on, and then you were just thrown out into the world.
It makes sense.
And it was my experience. I remember this from Beerbaum Elementary School. I remember two kids that failed second grade and were held back, but they had an extra year to grow.
Yeah.
And nobody wanted to mess with these kids because they were a year bigger and a year older, and even though they were not real intelligent,
they beat you up.
They didn't get bullied because of failing because you were afraid of
them. No, that's exactly the same like when I was in fourth grade. You grow a lot between third and fourth and fifth grade. So if you're in fifth grade and you go to sixth, but there's another kid there. This is his second time around in sixth grade. He's bigger than you. And you're right. You don't go, hey, dummy, I heard this is your second time to be in sixth grade.
Don't make
fun of
a big kid.
They take out in the parking lot and beat you to death.
I was 16 in sixth grade. Ooh. I drove everybody to school.
Do you know that in the hillbilly hick yes. stick town in Tennessee that I lived in, his name was Cary, like Cary Grant. He was 13, and he drove a 57 Chevy to school. This is how hillbilly...
Wow.
That
at 13?
And he never got put in jail or arrested because his daddy was friends with Chief Cromwell, the chief of police. It was like Mayberry. I'm not kidding. 13, and he had a car. Sixth or seventh grade, and Cary was the only car at school that wasn't one of the teachers. And he was 13 years old.
Jeez.
Oh, wow. Yeah. It was great. I got all kinds of stories. One day I'll tell you about Sammy getting kicked out of class because the teacher caught him with a mason jar of beer. We were in the sixth grade, and he brought beer to school. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Wow.
But for now, we have to talk about a great place to bank, and you know where it is. It's First Community Credit Union. I had a wonderful meeting this morning with one of our advertisers. It wasn't First Community, but... one of these days, I'll take the entire hour, and maybe right after our second anniversary here, I will explain to all of you how tough it's been to get to two full years here. The business that was lost, the new business that's just now starting to come around, through no fault of our own, and through no bad decision that I made. I would make the same decision I made 2 years ago. I feel I had really good reason for it. And I like it here, and I think we all like it here. I have more fun doing this now than I have for probably 6-7 years, and the show I think is better than it has been in 6-7 years. And the advertisers who are still with us, who stayed with us and stayed the course, those are the people you need to make sure realize how much you appreciate it. So every chance you get to do business with one of them, to let them know, even if you're already doing business with them, that you are AM and the PM. And it's no different with First Community Credit Union. The other advertiser mentioned how much they enjoy listening to the yard sale here every Saturday morning. This is another one of our advertisers. Every Saturday, listens to the yard sale. And it's sponsored by First Community Credit Union. Make sure they know you appreciate it. And one way to really let them know is not only tell them your AM and the PM or thank you for the yard sale, but how about moving your banking business to First Community Credit Union and let them know why and let them know who you listen to. That would be fantastic. And to those of you who have, thank you. And there must be many of you because it is the largest credit union in the St. Louis area. Over 40 locations. You can learn more at firstcommunity.com. After we check in with John Londoff for the second time today, it'll be Dr. Doug Pernikoff. So if you have a pet, you want to talk to this guy. It's 4 o'clock at 590 The Fan.
This is 590 The Fan. KFNS Wood River, St. Louis, and 590thefan.com. The home of Budweiser.
NBC News Radio. I'm Tom Roberts. President Trump says the Federal Reserve and its chairman